Previously on Apartment Syndication Made Easy podcast.
Relatively looking, multifamily is to me still looking superior. The only exception to that rule is this new asset class that got created in, after 2020 called Build to Rent. I think that there's an incredible amount of room there. The best example that I can give you for Build to Rent, because this will take a long time to explain, is, you know. The best example that I can give you for Build to Rent, because this will take a long time to explain, is, you know, not knowing about Build to Rent in 2022 is like not knowing about Bitcoin in 2011.
You hit the nail on the head. I'm so happy you brought it up, because Build to Rent is where everybody should be. And the opportunity is going to be coming like crazy for the next 8 to 10 years.
I think about 10 years. Until it becomes about 25, maybe 30% of all construction in the country. That's what's happening, right? What did COVID do? COVID made us realize that we love our homes. And we now spend a lot more time at homes. Even today, for only 46% of key swipes are happening. So, you know, before COVID, if the average worker would go into the office, you know, 65% of the time, 65% quick key swipes. Today, we're at 46%, even though COVID, for all practical purposes, is gone. Nobody gives a damn at this point. And what that means is that something fundamentally changed, something fundamentally switched. And so where are all those people if they're not in the office? They're in their home, and everybody wants more rooms, and everybody wants more space, and everybody wants an office nook, and everybody wants a backyard. And so fundamentally, there aren't enough homes in America to meet people's demands. So now there has to be a middle, you know, a process, right? So there's apartments, and already we have too few apartments in the country. So we know about that. And then there's single family homes, and we know that there's a huge shortage there, and they're very expensive. So there has to be a middle solution, right? Something that's reasonably priced. And that middle solution is Build to Rent, because Build to Rent is either a townhome or a small single family with a small backyard, a small front yard, but you're not living in an apartment. And so people are obsessed with BTR. BTR properties, currently many of them have 2-year wait lists. Wow. Even though they've increased rents by 15 or 16%, they have 2-year wait lists, because people, if they cannot achieve the single family dream, they still want to achieve it by living in a Build to Rent community that looks like a single family community or looks like a townhome community, right? So I, you know, for example, and this is an achievable dream. So right now I have a Build to Rent community in Idaho Falls. This is a tier 3 metro. I mean, they're called tertiary metros. And I built a brand new community there, and I'm leasing it out at $1,800. So the first tenant is going to live in a 3-bedroom, beautiful home with custom, you know, cabinetry. There's a backyard, there's a front yard. It's a townhome, so it's not a single family home. I think $1,800 for a family with two earners is a very reasonable price. Now, in bigger markets, where more expensive market, that number shoots up. It goes up to $2,500. So that's $30,000 a year. But if you're earning $90,000 a year as two you know, family members earning, once again, you can earn you can afford $30,000. So Build to Rent, for the first time, is bringing single family concepts at scale to multifamily. Because really, everybody building Build to Rent are the same people that were building apartments in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. It's not anybody different. It's the same industry, right? But people are realizing COVID changed something, right? And so we have to basically adapt accordingly. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't need apartments. The truth is, we still need more apartments than we have built in the last 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. But a chunk of that, maybe 20%, 15%, will become that upscale buyer that says, hey, I can't afford a single family anymore. I want to be mobile because my job is mobile. I can work from anywhere. I don't want to be tied to a 30-year mortgage. That upscale buyer now, I don't think goes to the Class A apartment complex. They go to Build to Rent. And that's the concept of Build to Rent. It's a very, very powerful concept.
I love it. We should do maybe a whole thing on that. I'm so impressed.
Oh my God. I talk about BTR for hours. I mean, it's
BTR
just amazing.
For hours. And I think we need to educate you know, whole America and around the globe, that that is where the demographical shifts are happening. That's where the millennials and all these baby boomers are retiring, turning 65, downsizing into senior assisted living, B2R, which we do quite a bit of that, build to rent, because we do build these communities. But what you're building for single family home, like townhouses, it's amazing, amazing. And I know we'll be doing a lot of business together with, and, you know, bringing it out. So let's jump on the second prong I talked about, you know, outsourcing. You are a master at that. So tell us more how our listeners can really get some, you know, productivity. I call it multiply yourself. You know, how can you multiply yourself if you get to delegate, you know, your things down the pipe, you know, to outsource VAs, international assistants, I call it, you know, now virtual, everybody's virtual now, I'm virtual. So international assistant, you know, yeah, tell us more about that.
Huh? So I have some core beliefs in that area. My core belief is this: if Apple cannot survive without outsourcing the vast majority of its programming software to places like India and the vast majority of its hardware to places like Taiwan and China, why do we think we are different? Why does the real estate industry think that we're the only industry in the world that can survive and thrive without some form of outsourcing? You look at airlines, you go, how can airlines be outsourcing anything? The short answer is all of their software is being written in places like India. Right. So what they realize is even though we have to fly planes in the United States and have people in the United States, we still have to outsource a significant portion. So if they're smart enough to do that, why aren't we? So my belief is that, you know, the syndication industry as it stands today won't exist in the next 15 years. What will exist are people that successfully outsource a significant portion of what we're doing. And once again, there's a lot of people like, no, the properties are here, so we can't outsource. Why? I mean, Apple's selling, you know, phones at the App Store, but their local stores, but a humongous portion of their employees are outside of the United States, right? Accenture, 700,000 employees, massive numbers of people outside the United States. That's the key. Their outsourcing is always possible and is always more efficient. What the challenge is.
Hi, you are listening to Syndication Made Easy podcast. We will be right back after this short break.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Vinny Chopra, and thank you for subscribing to my podcast and YouTube channel and Facebook pages and all the great things, and LinkedIn, connect with me. I come live to you every Friday at 9:30 Pacific with Vinny and Bo Show. Please also look at that. And also the podcast, which is my Apartment Syndication Made Easy. The book I wrote a couple of years back became international top seller on Amazon International now. And then we like to bring great guests for you every week or twice a week sometime to give you a lot of great knowledge. So please subscribe. You give us 5-star reviews on the iTunes. The better the guests we can, you know, bring, and our ranking will go higher also. Thanks again for following us and really getting the most out of it. Please comment, like, share, because we would love to bring better and better material for you.
The challenge is, people are not willing to believe that statement. People are willing to believe that somehow their business is exempt. And maybe there are businesses that are exempt. I think it would be hard to outsource your Subway if you were the owner of two Subways. You could probably outsource your accounting and your bookkeeping. Yeah. But for businesses like us, for what we do in the syndication business, I find that there's a shockingly low amount of outsourcing, shockingly low. And when I say, you know, outsourcing, I use virtual assistants, but I don't mean virtual assistants, okay? So VAs are the beginning of that process. What I mean is a company that is fully integrated, meaning if you have 10 employees in the US, you have 20 in the Philippines or 20 in Mexico, whichever one you prefer. I think those are probably the two kind of, you know, options. If you, you know, can live with the time difference with the Philippines, then that works better for you. So I created a vision a long time ago where I said, I truly want to have enough people so that I never say to myself, we never get the time to do X. We never get the time to do Y. I wanted the ability to do X and Y and then 2X and then 10X. And so I created a program. This was a vision, you know, it was about 2014. And I said, I want something that 10Xs my business, right? It 10Xs my business. And so I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I refined it. I started, you know, doing research on it. And today I have reached that point where I believe that my business is truly being 10Xed by this Filipino team that I have. So I'll give you some details of that team so you can really understand what I've done. Number one, I don't work with any company in the Philippines. I hire everybody directly. So they're all direct employees of mine. None of them works at night our time. They all work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific. They have no choice. So they work from their homes. So it's, you know, but it's not a flex position. They have to be in front of their computer from 8 to 5. We have an extensive software product that is tracking every single mouse click and every single keyboard entity. And we are ranking them on a daily basis. And each week, we provide them with rankings on their productivity. And if their ranking falls too low, they're fine.
Screenshot monitor or
it's a software that is built into a tool called Upwork. So we use Upwork for all the hiring, but Upwork, one of the things that most people don't know is Upwork provides an extraordinarily powerful tool that monitors what all of the people are doing. How many, you know, times did they press a keystroke? How many times did they, you know, move the mouse? And then it provides screenshots. Every time there's screen changes, it provides screenshots. So we have a full-time employee. Her name's Kay. And what she does is she actually goes through these screenshots and she goes through these rankings and publishes them on our Slack. Slack is like Microsoft Teams. It's basically a channel-based software. Yep. So we have reports. We have over 25 productivity reports for our virtual assistants that are published every week, 25 different reports. Mm-hmm. And some are taken from the Upwork software. Some are taken from screenshots. Some are taken from other measurements. And each employee in the Philippines is actually far more accountable than our US employees.
Wow.
I have not been able to get my US employees to have the level of accountability that my Philippines team has. One reason for that is that I would have to hire another $100,000 employee just to make them accountable. Whereas I can hire somebody like Kay for $13, $14 an hour in the Philippines, and everyone else can be $7 an hour. So now we have full-time directors and managers that whose job it is to make those people accountable. So we have an extraordinarily high level of accountability. When you look at, you know, companies like IBM that have 30,000 employees in Bangalore, they always say this, those employees are more accountable. It's all about the creation of systems, processes, checkpoints, checklists, and then weekly reports. We call this not public shaming, but public accountability. So imagine every Monday, you're a virtual assistant in the Philippines. You come into work and there's a Slack channel and it's lit up and you click on it and you see, all of us on this very nice bar graph where the highest bar is awesome and the lowest bar is not so good, right? Would you want to be the lowest bar every single week?
No.
Don't you know that if you're on the lowest bar for 3 or 4 consecutive weeks, you're not going to be employed with us anymore? So what are you going to do? You're going to work harder. You're going to push yourself up to the middle and maybe even some days push yourself up to the top. Imagine trying to do that with US employees. You would be called Big Brother. You would be called, you know, what is that? You know, all the usual stuff that we throw at people when we feel like they're too on top of us. Micromanagement, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Please understand that other cultures do not feel this way.
Yeah.
Nobody in the Philippines has ever accused us of micromanagement because all of their managers manage them to metrics.
Yeah.
And this isn't micromanagement, it's management by metrics. Yeah. So these reports, these systems are why my Philippines team is more accountable than my US team. And as a result, is more productive than my US team. And I'm always looking for ways to grow. And by the way, I'm not replacing any employee in the US, right? So one of the key concepts the key myth for outsourcing is that outsourcing saves money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the truth is it's true to a certain level, but here's a better sentence. Here's something that's much better.
Mm-hmm.
Saving money is a horrible use of outsourcing
Yeah.
Making your company grow 10 times faster is a much better way of using outsourcing. So when you have Microsoft with its 30,000 employees in Bangalore, Microsoft is not trying to save money. Yeah. Microsoft is trying to grow faster, do things faster. You know, the software cycles for Microsoft for Windows have gone from 4 years when they would release a new version to 1 year. They now have an annual release. Why do you think they're able to do that? Because they're able to have four times as many programmers, right? To get that done. So none of the large companies are looking to save money by outsourcing. They're looking to stay ahead of their competitors. They're looking to be unique. They're looking to create more profit. And that's my belief. I have never, ever tried to save a single dollar in the Philippines, right? So if I had budget for one operation staff in the United States, that was, let's say, $72,000 an hour, $72,000 a year, mm-hmm. I hire $72,000 worth of employees in the Philippines.
Oh dear. Wow.
Right? And one, and so that usually is one manager. So that manager might be about, you know, $26,000-$28,000, followed by four employees. So now we've added it up to 72. And sometimes it's more than 72. Many times I'm spending $90,000 in the Philippines for a team instead of $72,000 in the US for an employee. Yeah. What am I getting out of that? Productivity, scale, growth, efficiency, right? I'm able to do things that most people can't dream of. I have 850 investors. And when an email comes in from an investor, we answer it within 59 minutes or less, right? Boom, high response speeds. And those investors are really happy about that, right? We have people in the Philippines mining websites, Bureau of Labor Statistics, mining Zillow, mining all of these, putting dashboards together for us. So when we make decisions, instead of hours, we can make decisions in minutes, right? I tell people, I'm really, really dumb. I don't want to see a table. Never show me a table. Only show me a chart, a graph, or you know, a pie. That's what I understand, right? And everything to get from huge numbers of, you know, huge tables of numbers that I can't understand to beautiful pie graphs, it's all done in the Philippines. That translation of data to decision making is all done in the Philippines, right? And that's why I always have huge numbers of people. I have two full-time executive assistants, Vinny, and they are stressed. These girls are working 55 hours a week, and people are like, how could you possibly have enough work? The answer is experience. Yeah. How could, if you were to hire two awesome executive assistants at your home, right? They come to your home. Yeah. If you were still just there for 6 months with them, at the end of 6 months, they would be stressed. You would have lots of work for them, right? It's a matter of process. Yeah. Of course, there's always enough work. When there's not enough work, guess what I do? I open a new business. I open a new division. I open a new venture. I go back and poll my investors. I reconnect. There's always enough. And the truth is, the biggest bottleneck in my company is me.
Yeah.
Me.
Having fewer projects. No, that's so true. I think it's so true. A lot of people don't want to get VAs or international assistants because they think we need to get organized, which is true. You know, you got to be really on the top of your game, your vision, your action plan, what you want them to do, and then figure out ways so that they can be responsible. Your accountability shifts to them so that they're able to produce and do better job. That's what I found, right? You know, they can do much, much, much better job, graphics, this, designing, all that, making appointments, making all these things. Who would you say is the most productive? I like your system where you have a leader. You mentioned that. And then everybody that reports to her or him, she takes care of those choices or decisions, right? You're not bogged down with it. I like that.
That's the biggest piece of it. So I find people, you know, I go to conferences and people know about me using virtual assistants. So I talk with them and they're like, they're a lot of work. They're a huge amount of work. I feel like I've added massive amounts of work by hiring these people. Mm-hmm. And I tell them that the biggest concept is that when you're looking to budget for these virtual assistants, make sure that you budget their managers first,
yeah.
Right? Because the key is that these virtual assistants are meant to free you up and free up everyone else in the US. Free you up, free up your US staff, because your US staff is really expensive. Very, very expensive, right? Compared to, you know, the Philippines. So if you're in a situation where people in the United States are spending time to manage people in the Philippines, well, this is the reverse of what you want. It is the opposite. Instead of you becoming, you know, having more time, you now have less time. So from the very beginning, make an investment, right? So I tell people, right, the Philippines, like when you hire a virtual assistant, you're making an investment into your company. It's like any other investment, right? So, you know, we purchase something, we purchase a software, and we know that for 6 months, 12 months, that software is just going to increase our workload, right? We're just going to go and put all this stuff in the software. There's all these meetings. And then 1 year or 6 months later, the software is now working and finally we can breathe and sit back. The Philippines is like that, right? Initially, the workload is there's a cost expense, and the biggest cost expense is having...
Don't forget to catch the last episode this coming Friday. And thank you for listening to Apartment Syndication Made Easy podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe.